claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, it's just terrific to have our special guest today, Edward Hendry, who has been doing completely brilliant work in reporting on the COVID, the vaccines. I put him on a par with John Rappaport, except his work is more thorough, lengthy, scientific. I want to use this opportunity, however, to bring out an aspect of Edward's work that may be largely unknown to the public, which is that he published a book entitled 9/11 Enemies, Foreign and Domestic, which is completely brilliant. In 2011, this I want to go through the table of contents because it seems to me Edward had it exactly right, to wit, seven alleged hijackers are still alive. American Airlines flights 11 and 77 did not exist. No American Airlines flight 77 wreckage at the Pentagon. Decoy plane. 2.3 trillion reasons for the Pentagon attack. A patriotic witness steps from the rubble. What happened to UA flight 93? Impossible speeds. Rock, scissors, planes. Media participation in 9/11 attacks, eyewitness accounts, the man who knew too much, evidence of directed energy on 9/11, the destruction after the destruction, what did Bush know and when did he know it, Mossad involvement in the 9/11 attacks, Abel Danger, a nest of spies, Israel is our enemy, continuing, Silverstein and friends, Osama bin Patsy, the real reason for the invasion of Iraq is Iran next, the media lapdogs, the core of the conspiracy, while I believe it was the use of nukes rather than directed energy, Edward was brilliant in capturing Bureau of Transportation statistic records showing that Flight 11 North Tower and Flight 77 were not even in the air that day. And I want to congratulate him for the brilliance of his early work on 9/11. Edward Hendry, welcome to the event.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you for that kind introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you've been doing such sensational work. And in fact, I cite the panels that you took, you captured from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics in my own summaries of the work. And of course, what this means is no plane hit the North Tower, no plane hit the Pentagon. It turns out the other two planes were still in the air, where Flight 93 was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, after it had officially crashed in Shanksville, that Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had officially hit the South, and where I tracked down FAA registration records that showed the planes used on those different flights were the same plane, of course, could be used today from Tampa to Chicago, tomorrow from New York to Los Angeles, were not even formally deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2015. So how can planes that were not even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? You've done brilliant work across the board here, Edward, and I'm just delighted to have you with us here today.
Well, thank you.
Giuseppe.
Well, Edward, welcome to the show. I'm a big fan of your work over at Great Mountain Publishing. And I noticed on October 11th, you published a very interesting article. There is no presidential election executive order mandating companies to require COVID-19 vaccinations for employees. And tell us a little bit about that article. And so is this just another mind rape by the traitor and pedophile Joe Biden?
Yeah, it's government by bluff. So he announced an executive order in a press conference and then never issued it. So people have to understand that the government acts upon written orders authorized by the person with authority to issue such an order. In this case, the purported authority, which I question the constitutionality of anyway, but aside from that, there is no executive order involving private companies that employ more than 100 people as alleged, as suggested by Joe Biden at the press conference. So he announces this order at the press conference. Now, he did issue let me just make a point. He did issue an executive order regarding executive branch federal employees and contractors with the federal government. So he did issue that, those two orders. But he also proposed an order mandating that those who employ more than 100 people must require their employees to be vaccinated. Well, there is no such executive order. And I just read, I believe it was yesterday or perhaps today, I can't recall now, the American Airlines CEO say that the executive order by the governor of Texas that prohibits a company from mandating their employees to be vaccinated, he said that conflicts with the federal law and he will abide by the federal law. Well, he's the CEO of American Airlines, and he knows better. He knows there's no such federal law. He knows that there is no such executive order requiring the companies to have their employees be vaccinated. He's using that as cover, as an excuse. And basically, this is government by bluff. So there is no such requirement. And it's probably because Joe Biden knows that such an order would be struck down so fast it would make your head spin. And so he simply did not issue it. And on the website, on my blog, there's an excellent article. John Rappaport first brought this to my attention. And then there's an excellent article by a woman named Joy Pullman. And she wrote for The Federalist. And she did a great job of analyzing it. And I included her article on my blog. It's really quite well done. But, you know, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a shadow government that rules by bluffing. And that's not the only thing they're bluffing about. Okay. I mean, if we can talk about, for example, the supposed approval of the Pfizer vaccine, that's another bluff, okay? It's a scam. So they approved a vaccine called Comirnaty, all right? And that's made by Pfizer-BioNTech. Well, Comirnaty, that vaccine, is not available in the United States. And so everybody who receives a Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine in the United States, will not receive the approved vaccine. Now, why is that important? Well, all vaccines now that people receive in the United States are received under what is known as emergency use authorization. Those vaccines are all experimental. They're being allowed because there's a medical emergency, allegedly, but they're not approved. There are medical experiments. Everybody who gets that vaccine is a subject in a medical experiment, okay? They have not been proven to be safe or effective. And in fact, increasingly, we come to understand that they're both unsafe and ineffective, okay? We can talk about that as well.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is, what they've done is they've approved a vaccine that is not available in the United States. Now, why would the FDA do that? Why would the FDA approve a vaccine which nobody in the United States can get? That makes no sense. And they have maintained the Pfizer-BioNTech EUA vaccine, emergency use authorized vaccine. And the reason they did that is twofold. First, under the statute for emergency use authorized medications, the standard is that there can be no alternative that is approved and available. That's what the statute says, approved and available. Well, if they made the vaccine available, that means that Moderna and Johnson & Johnson would have to take their vaccines, their experimental vaccines, under the emergency use authorization off the market. Now, many people don't know that Moderna, that's the only product they sell. They would be essentially put out of business. They would have no income. Okay, so that's one reason. Another reason is under the vaccine injury compensation plans, when a person receives an experimental vaccine, they fall under the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. And under that act, there is a countermeasures injury compensation program, okay, the CICP. That program is very restrictive. If you're injured taking an emergency use authorized medication or vaccine, you're pretty much out of luck. You're not going to get recovery, okay? Now, if it's an approved vaccine, it would fall under a different category. It would be compensatable under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, all right? You're unlikely to obtain recovery, depending on your injury, under that program as well, but there's a better chance, okay? So, for example, the statute of limitations for a CICP injury or under the CICP plan is the statute of limitations is 1 year from the point of vaccination, okay? The statute of limitations under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is 3 years from the point of injury. Also, there's restrictions on what you can recover under the CICP. And that is, I think you're limited to wages and actual costs. You don't get attorney's fees. You don't get pain and suffering. And so it's basically one lawyer said under the CICP, you have the right to file and you have the right to lose. Okay. So basically you're out of luck if you're getting in one of those experimental vaccines and you get injured. Mm-hmm. And that's another aspect of this faking the public out, making them think that the Pfizer vaccine is approved when in fact the vaccine they're receiving is unapproved and their chance of recovering for any injury is slim to none and Slim's left town.
Well, your points are so extremely well made, especially that this morning a federal judge ordered United Airlines not to put workers seeking vaccine mandate on exemption on leave. So it's all falling apart. This is patently illegal. And it's just like you said, it's a power play by these traitorous globalist communists, of which Biden is a marionette under their complete control.
Yeah.
Scorpio.
Yeah, but they're really taking it a step further, and they're, like I say, they're ruling by bluff. So the major media is not talking about this at all. So most people don't understand what I just explained, that in fact this approval is a shadow approval. I mean, think about it. Why would you approve a vaccine that is not available in the country over which the FDA has jurisdiction, the United States? They approved it and it's not available, and they won't make it available.
Well, Edward, we know the reason is to create the false impression that the Pfizer vaccine has had FDA approval, which is now being endlessly repeated in the mainstream media. So they're extending the bluff into a swindle, a complete fraud on the American people, in the belief that now many will go ahead and get the jab because they think it's been FDA approved, even though it has not, just as you have observed. This alleged mandate coming from Biden is a chimera. It's non-existent. There is no mandate. But because it's being presented in the press as though there were, they're inducing under false circumstances many to go ahead and get the jab because they believe there's a mandate that they must adhere to. So your idea of government by bluff is 100% correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and increasingly, and by the way, people have to understand, and this is really important. These vaccine mandates, nobody has to subject themselves to the vaccine mandate. Because under our system, the government, now let's just talk about, first I'll talk about government employees, okay? That's the largest block that's under this mandate. Government employees have constitutional rights because the actor is the government and the Constitution is a limit on government action. Okay. So under the First Amendment, government workers, they don't give up their constitutional rights when they work for the government. They still have the freedom of religion. They have their First Amendment right to freedom of religion. They are entitled to a religious exemption from the vaccine, and all they need to do is explain their sincerely held religious beliefs. That's the language. The Supreme Court precedent on this is very clear. The government cannot examine or question the sincerity of somebody's religious belief. That's improper. Once a person indicates they have a sincerely held religious belief whereby they object to being vaccinated, that's the end of the issue. We have no Department of Religion in the government. There is nobody to assess somebody's religious beliefs. It's completely improper. There are things being done in the federal government and in companies that are improper, okay? The bottom line is that if somebody requests a religious exemption, it must be granted for this reason. The Supreme Court has said that if there is a secular exemption, that is a non-religious, non-spiritual exemption for a particular practice, in this case, we'll talk about vaccination, the company and the government must allow a religious exemption. To not allow a religious exemption is to discriminate against somebody based on their religious beliefs. That's unconstitutional. That's also a violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Title VII would apply to a private company. The Constitution would not. The only time the Constitution would apply to a private company is if the company is acting as an agent of the government. Okay, so typically it would be Title VII for a private company. It would be the Constitution and Title VII for the federal government employees. Now, this is where the non-existent executive order comes into play. So we have an executive order, or I'm sorry, we have an announcement of a requirement by the president that companies with more than 100 employees must mandate vaccination, but there's no accompanying executive order authorizing that. So, and then you have companies saying, hey, we're doing this to comply with the federal requirement, with this federal mandate. Well, that's a problem. Here's why. And I don't know how this is going to play out. If somebody claims a constitutional right because the company is acting as an agent of the federal government, they would have a very good claim if the company has announced that they're doing this because the federal government is requiring it. Here's the problem. The federal government is not actually requiring it. Okay. So the company is doing it based on allegedly what they announce as their federal requirement, which really does not exist. So where does that play out with regard to a constitutional right? I don't know. I think the employees would have a good argument. But you know, that's one of the things I think is going on without issuing this executive order. So without issuing the executive order, people don't have a constitutional claim that where it's mandated in a private company. But still, let me just say, a person working in a private company, they have a Title VII claim against the company that employs 15 or more employees, because that's what the Title VII applies to, then for religious discrimination if they are not allowed a religious exemption. So basically, people are going to be allowed a religious exemption. Let me just make a point also with regard to these vaccines. These COVID-19 vaccines, all of them that are used here in the United States, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer-BioNTech, use aborted fetal tissue in either the research and development or the actual manufacture. Okay? And if you have a religious objection to abortion, you can be exempted from having those aborted fetal tissue or those vaccines developed from aborted fetal tissue injected into your body. And there's many other bases for a religious exemption. Okay. But the bottom line is it's not as dire as it seems. People should be able to get a religious exemption if the companies follow the law and if the government follows the law. And like I said, there is no one in the government who can assess the sincerity of your religious beliefs or the legitimacy of your religious beliefs. It doesn't matter what you believe. All right. If you have a religious belief whereby you object to a vaccine, then they have to give you an exemption. That's the bottom line. If they want you to give reasons, fine. And by the way, you don't need any authorization or any ratification from a pastor, a minister, or whatever. If they require that, that's illegal, all right? They cannot require somebody to vouch for the sincerity of your religious beliefs. That's improper, okay? The government, the First Amendment, let me just make this point. The First Amendment renders the government incompetent, legally incompetent, to assess the sincerity of somebody's religious beliefs. And any questions that are designed to do that are illegal. Okay?
Yeah, very good. Scorpio, join in.
Ed, you're making some very good points. But, you know, really, the problem I'm having here is the religious exemption thing. That's all well and good. But, you know, there's a bigger issue that even supersedes that, which is you do not have to partake in any medical procedure that you do not want, since you are sovereign over your own body. And, it seems like all these so-called rights that we thought we had, all these so-called laws that we supposedly live under, are ephemeral. And they're really sort of a one-way street. You know, we're not dealing with a conspiracy here. We're dealing with a business model. You know, all of their plans are out in the open. There's no conspiracy any longer. It's very clear that this is the biggest power grab in modern history to completely subjugate the very body in which you inhabit. So I guess my question for you, Ed, is what do you think the real agenda is here? Because it's very clear that this whole thing has nothing to do with COVID or public safety. And isn't it interesting how the definition of public safety and public health keeps expanding? It's an ever-expanding concept that can essentially swallow up every aspect of our lives. So what do you think the real agenda is here with the vaccines, and what's the end game with these vaccines?
Well, the real agenda is enslavement of the population, first of all. And, you know, this is eugenics. They're trying to kill people. All you have to do is look at the VAERS data, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and you'll see that the death, if you pull up, what's the site that has the VAERS data on it? Not VAERS. Now let's see if I can find it. If you look at the most current statistics, all you got to do is multiply it by 100, and you'll get the actual death rate, because the VAERS system does not collect all of the data regarding deaths and adverse events. So if you look at the statistics on the VAERS site, it's only catching 1%. How do I get that? How do I get that 1%? I get that 1% from a study that was funded by the CDC. The CDC funded a study. Harvard did a study, and they concluded in their study that the VAERS system only catches 1% of the adverse events. And one of the adverse events is death. And the site I'm referring to is called Open VAERS. Okay. And if you go to Open VAERS, just type in Open VAERS in your search, you'll find that right now it reports 16,310 deaths. 75,000 hospitalizations. This is from vaccines. This is from COVID-19 vaccines, okay? So 16,310 deaths. Well, you multiply that by 100, and what do you have? You have 1.6 million deaths. 1.6 million deaths. Now, there was a study done where they found that, I believe, the percentage is 46%. 46% of people vaccinated that died within with the COVID-19 vaccine, died within 48 hours. I think it's fair to say that there would be probable cause to believe that if you die within 48 hours of a medical treatment, there's probable cause to believe that that medical treatment caused the death. In this case, it would be the COVID-19 vaccine. And I believe that there would be therefore probable cause to believe that 46% of that 1.6 million people have died from the COVID vaccines. Now, understand this. The VAERS data is reporting correlation, not proven causation. Understand that. So it's reporting correlation. That is, there's a correlation between the vaccine and the death. But understand this also, that when doctors fill out the form that puts the data in the VAERS system, they are warned that they can be prosecuted federally for putting false information. And so basically, the doctor has already made an assessment when submitting that VAERS data, that there is a causal link between the vaccine and the death or the hospitalization or any adverse event that they list, because death is just one of them, okay? So there's other things, paralysis, heart issues, and so forth, all right? So understand that this VAERS data, okay, illustrates that these vaccines are dangerous. They're dangerous. They are not safe. Okay. And VAERS is only collecting 1% of the actual deaths and injuries. And if you just focus on the deaths, that's astounding. It's just astounding. And then if you just lower it to the 46% within 48 hours, you come up with a pretty solid number of people that they are killing. And here's another thing, that when you are hospitalized for COVID-19, typically what they do is they give you what is known as remdesivir. That's the protocol recommended by the CDC. Okay. That's the recommended protocol. They do not recommend hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which are safe and effective. So remdesivir, and I have an article on my blog on remdesivir, it's dangerous. Now, I'm not a doctor, so follow what your doctor says, but remdesivir is a, it's dangerous. And there's an article in there. I wrote it. If you go on the right-hand side and you pull it down, if you just look for, do a search for remdesivir up there in the search box, and you'll pull it up.
Oops, spelled it
wrong. Scorpio.
I mean, they've pulled all kinds of shenanigans. So, for example, remdesivir, you have to spell it right. It's R-E-M-D. Let me do a search here. It's R-E-M-D-E-S-I-V-I-R.
Oh, I-R.
Yeah.
There it is.
There you go. That's the article. And in fact, Dr. Brian Artis, he did an excellent job of revealing that many of the deaths and maladies suffered by people in the hospital are a result of the treatment with remdesivir and not from COVID-19. So people go into the hospital and they're given remdesivir, which is a dangerous drug. And it's very expensive. I think it's like $3,000 per treatment or something for a week. Whereas hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin is, I don't know, $100. So very different. Very different. And you'll see that. When I've also written an article about how in order to knock out hydroxychloroquine, the fraud that they pulled, and if you do a search for hydroxychloroquine, the article will pop up. The fraud they pulled in their studies where they actually poisoned text patients. So if you type in hydroxychloroquine in the search box there, it'll pop up the article. Okay, that doctors have poisoned patients to show that hydroxychloroquine is not safe and effective. There's a very narrow therapeutic window for hydroxychloroquine. It's safe and it's very effective, but you have to maintain that narrow therapeutic window. If you go beyond that, then it becomes toxic. Well, what they did in this study, in order to knock hydroxychloroquine out of the box as a safe and effective remedy for COVID-19, they gave the patients toxic doses.
Right.
They were killing patients. It's shocking. It's quite shocking what they did in order to, because here's the thing. If hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were effective alternatives, then the vaccines would never be authorized under emergency use authorization. Remember, in order to be authorized under emergency use authorization, there cannot be an available and approved alternative. Well, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin at that time were alternatives that were safe and effective. They had to knock them out of the box, and so they did.
That's an excellent point. You know, I'm still trying to get my head around the fact that I was told I had to make a $1,000 donation to Pastor Bastard to get my religious exemption letter. So, geez, I think I got ripped off.
Scorpio.
Wait, my earpiece fell out just now. I didn't hear what you'd last said.
It was just a bad joke. I said, I'm still trying to get my head around the fact that I had to donate $1,000 to Pastor Bastard to get my religious exemption letter. You know, another thing, Ed, and then I'll give it all over to Scorpio, that people don't realize is the incredible power of intravenous vitamin C along with hyperbaric oxygen therapy or ozone therapy. I mean, that you know, any patient who's being murdered by remdesivir, if you would use intravenous vitamin C and ozone oxygen therapy, they would recover quickly.
Oh, that's another good point. Yes, intravenous vitamin C and monoclonal antibodies.
Yep, there you go. Yep.
Monoclonal antibodies are that's another great treatment for COVID-19 alternatives. Okay, but again, this is, you know, we're dealing with these alternatives. If they are found to be safe and effective, the emergency use authorization would disappear.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean,
so that's the problem they're facing, and that's why they're going after hydroxychloroquine. They're going after ivermectin. They call ivermectin anti-parasitic for horses.
Yeah, it was won the Nobel Prize for people as a phenomenal treatment. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well, and this information about ivermectin being a horse medicine is a perfect example of a half truth. That's actually a lie. It is a horse anti-parasite. It's also an anti-parasitical drug for humans, for cats, for dogs. Yeah. There's a lot of medicines that are used for both animals and humans, and ivermectin is just one of those. So what I'm amazed by too, it's just the absolute complicity between the media and this agenda. I mean, we do not have a functioning media. We have a enemy war, a propaganda transmission is really all we have. And so, Ed, I guess my question for you is, you know, it seems to me that this, so many people think if they just take the shot, just take the vaccine, then you'll be fully vaccinated. And then you're on your merry way back towards something like a normal life. But it's clear that they're already getting things ready for, you need a booster shot. Now they're even floating this idea that you're going to need a new vaccine to fully protect you from the Delta variant. So I sort of see, you know, a new vaccine every 6 months or a year in perpetuity until they get this new system in place, which is, you know, going to look something like the Chinese system or the system that the World Economic Forum is proposing. What do you think about that line of thinking in terms of perpetual vaccines and actually using this to shut down what we know as reality, what we know as an economic system, and replacing it with either a Chinese system or a World Economic Forum vision, or maybe a hybrid between the two?
Oh, I think that's going to happen. I mean, that's what they're working towards right now. This whole, I mean, the COVID thing is just a smokescreen. Okay. I mean, they've not isolated COVID-19. Most people don't understand that COVID-19 has never been isolated. It's actually based on a computer model, and the spike protein was modeled from a computer program. So they've never actually isolated what they call COVID-19. So this is a smokescreen. This is actually economic. The government is insolvent. The U.S. government's insolvent. They are going to collapse. Our monetary system will go to digital. That's what I see happening, a cryptocurrency. And here's the thing. Cryptocurrency will be it will be slavery. So what happens with cryptocurrency is you'll get a bank account and you'll have money in your bank account. But the government will then dictate what you can spend your money on, and they will watch everything you spend your money on. It's all traceable. And so nothing you do will be private. So a cash transaction is private. There will be no such thing with cryptocurrency. Everything will be
traceable. Well, yes, and another sort of tag that's going to go on these cryptocurrencies is that there will be an expiration date on the money. So that will make it impossible to ever – you know, so-called save money and accumulate wealth. You'll have to use this money by a certain time or the money simply expires. The other thing about cryptocurrencies is that all so-called, you know, rules of monetary, you know, systems go completely out the window. They can simply do whatever they want at that point.
That's right. And in fact, all you got to do is look at what China's doing and you'll see what they're working for here. So in China, for example, they pretty much have their system in place. They don't have, they have a cryptocurrency, but what they have is, for example, there was one guy who was jaywalking, okay? And they have these facial recognition cameras all over China. So this guy jaywalked. He got a notice when he got to the other side of the street that he had jaywalked. He'd been fined and it had been withdrawn. The fine had already been withdrawn from his bank account. So they have a social credit system over there where if you do not have sufficient social credit, they can turn off your bank account. They can limit what you can do as far as travel. So they can shut off your ability to get on trains, planes, okay? So that system is the system that they're going to try to implement here in the United States, okay? But it's going to have to be done through a cryptocurrency. And you're absolutely right. It will, the cryptocurrency will have a limited shelf life, okay? Some, the government will want to stimulate certain aspects of the economy. And so whatever they want a lot of money to flow into, they'll say, okay, this money has to be used by such and such a date on this item or on this thing. And they have a certain period which within which to use that money for that thing. So this is really, this medical tyranny is not really based on medicine. It's actually based on finance. And what most people don't understand is that our monetary system with the Federal Reserve, let me just start with the Federal Reserve, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And if people could just understand the monetary system, then the scales will fall from their eyes as to who is the shadow government. Because I can tell you right now, who is the shadow government? It's the money powers. Think about it this way. If you could print as much money as you wanted, there's nothing that you could not do or buy. Okay? It would be like everything's free. They asked Bill Gates one day, what's it like to be the richest man in the world at that time when he was the richest man in the world? He said, oh, it's like everything's free. Okay, well, that's the way it is with the Federal Reserve. It's like everything's free. The way it works is when the government borrows money, by law under the Federal Reserve Act, the government must borrow the money from the Federal Reserve. Well, the government borrows the money in batches right now, today, in batches of trillions of dollars. So let's say they want to borrow $1 trillion. They're running a deficit of $1 trillion. Okay, so what is the deficit now? I think it's closing on $2 trillion, but I've lost track. Bottom line is, let's just for round numbers say it's $1 trillion. By the way, that's why we will never have anything but deficit spending, because that's worked into the system ever since the Federal Reserve Act came into play. We've always had deficit spending. So we have deficit spending, and they have to borrow it from the Federal Reserve by law. So they do that. And what do? They ask the Federal Reserve for the $1 trillion. What does the Federal Reserve do? It's all by computer transaction. They don't actually print $1 trillion. It's all digits on a screen. They send over $1 trillion to the federal government. The federal government then exchanges treasury notes for the $1 trillion Federal Reserve notes. So the Federal Reserve notes are non-interest bearing, non-secured notes, and they get in return secured interest-bearing treasury notes. Now, what did the Federal Reserve do to earn that money? Nothing. A law was passed that required them to be the only lender to the federal government. So they did nothing. And by the way, the Federal Reserve is a private bank. It's not part of the government. It's a private bank owned by private individuals. So at the end of this transaction, this private bank now is enriched by the to the tune of $1 trillion. They got it free by a law being passed. How do you like that? And then the taxpayers now have to pay the interest on the Treasury notes that the Federal Reserve then receives. And so the Federal Reserve now has interest-bearing notes that are secured, all right? And then the Federal Reserve notes are spent by the federal government into the economy, okay? Now, these Federal Reserve notes, people have to look at the note. When you look at the note, a note is a promise to pay. But these notes are actually counterfeit. Now, they're legal counterfeit. The law allows this kind of counterfeiting. But a note is a promise to pay. But if you look at that note, you'll notice that there is no promise to pay on that note. Okay? So you have a note that is a promise to pay without a promise. What is that? That's a counterfeit note. In the olden days, when you had a piece of paper, it was a promise to pay gold or silver on demand. So you would present the note and a $100 gold certificate would be, you would go to the bank and they would give you $100 in gold coin. Very simple. However, what they ended up doing was they took off the promise to pay the gold or silver. So now when you go to the bank and you say, hey, I want the they took off the promise. So there's nothing you can do with that piece of paper but to give it to some other sucker. See? And so the more pieces of paper that are printed, the less valuable each becomes. And that's what is known as inflation. It's an increase in the money supply. It's not an increase in prices. That increase in prices is a symptom of inflation. Inflation is an increase in money supply, more money that is chasing fewer goods. And so that's the way the system works. But this system, like any Ponzi scheme, has an endpoint. In other words, it can't continue. It must end. And I think we're at the end point right now. They're going to collapse the currency. They're going to try to do it in a controlled fashion before they switch over to a cryptocurrency. Okay? So this system of constantly inflating money, which they're doing, and they're signing $1 trillion bills, unbelievable. Trump, when he was in office, signed a bill, a relief bill for $6 trillion. And understand this. The inflation here in the United States has been relatively, until recently, relatively low. Well, the reason for that is so much of our money goes overseas. We don't make anything here anymore. Everything we make, everything we buy comes from China and other countries overseas. And so all of our money is overseas. Well, guess what? These countries are going to wise up and they're going to decide, hey, we don't want to hold these dollars anymore. Let's send them back to the U.S. and buy things there. Why? Because under the legal tender laws, we have to take those dollars. They don't have to take them. Like, for instance, if China wants to do a deal with France, France doesn't have to take dollars. They can take whatever they want. Okay. But we have to take them. And so that money is going to come flooding back here at some point, and you're going to have hyperinflation when people wise up, when these countries wise up and they decide to send the money back here and start buying things here before their money collapses in value. See, dollar has been king for a long time, but without an anchor of gold or silver, it's bound to collapse like any other fiat currency. So this is economic. Your question is a good one, but COVID-19 is a smokescreen for what is really an economic collapse. And they're trying to manage it, okay, by creating this medical emergency. There's no medical emergency. And there's something else going on here with regard to COVID-19 as well. And if you want to discuss it, we can discuss 5G, which they're going to be rolling out. And I believe that many of the maladies that are going to be coming are going to be coming on the heels of 5G, which has the same effect on the human body as they allege by COVID-19.
Well, Edward, doesn't the graphene oxide in these vaccines create the potential for a brain 5G interface where they can even induce thoughts and feelings into those who've been injected?
I don't know. You're asking me a question about which I'm not really well versed on. I do know graphene oxide has been found in the vaccines, but as far as the graphene oxide being, and I understand there are those that are of the view that the graphene oxide will be interplay with 5G. I'm not fully well versed on that. I do know that initially when COVID-19 broke out, it broke out on those cruise ships. Those cruise ships were cruise ships that were just outfitted with 5G antennas. And so the COVID breakout on those, and it was only those cruise ships with the 5G antennas on them that had the massive COVID-19 breakouts. But I'm familiar with the microscopy analysis where they have found strands of where they found that material in it, which may interplay with 5G.
Scorpio.
Well, maybe you could expound upon this 5G connection, because I do think it's significant. And we've seen that the graphene oxide certainly for sure responds to magnetic signals and electrical pulses in all kinds of ways. So what do you think exactly the connection is between COVID and 5G, and how do you think they're going to use this in the future? Because it seems to me that, you know, obviously a big part of this plan is to depopulate, but at the same time they want to replace the population as well.
Well, yeah, the vaccines. Okay, let's talk about the vaccines, for example. As far as depopulation, we looked at the VAERS data, and most of the hospitalizations and deaths now from COVID-19 are coming from people who've been vaccinated. Okay, as much as the government's trying to conceal that, the facts are pretty clear that most of them. I just listened to Bruce Arians, an interview with Bruce Arians, and he made the point twice in the interview that the players that have come down with COVID on his team were vaccinated. Bill Belichick made the same point in a press conference. And what's happening is they're not actually coming down with COVID-19. They're testing positive for COVID-19 only because the tests are designed for that. And the PCR tests at such a high cycle rate will almost always test positive. They're actually suffering from antibody-dependent enhancement, which is something that is known regarding vaccines in general, and in particular the COVID-19 vaccines. They were aware of that from the animal studies and the human studies, that antibody dependent enhancement was a side effect of the vaccine. And so what happens is typically when they're given the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, mRNA is actually a code, okay, that tells your cells to create the spike protein, okay, and so it your cells are now creating the spike protein. Well, what that does is when you are then infected with coronavirus, your body then is now reacting in a way that it's never reacted before. And it causes an antibody-dependent enhancement. That is, it causes an immune response, and they refer to it as a cytokine storm, where the people get very, very sick. And I think that's what we're looking at here with regard to the with regard to what they call these breakthrough cases and the Delta variant. The Delta variant is actually antibody dependent enhancement that they're cloaking as the Delta variant. And so these hospitalizations and these deaths from people who have been vaccinated are really maladies that are caused by the vaccine. See?
So, Giuseppe, of course, we've addressed this many, many times. Would you like to pick up here?
Oh, absolutely. Ed is bang on. The cytokine storm, which is essentially systemic inflammation where the body's immune function attacks itself because that messenger RNA, little synthetic snippet that's inserted into the body via coaxination injection, you know, literally invades cells and turns them into little protein spike factories. So you've got a little hardwired antibody immune response that the real immune function is now suppressed. And when something unexpected, like a mutated coronavirus, enters the immune system, the body will freak out and begin attacking itself. It's a horrible way to die. Your heart swells up, your liver swells up, your lungs swell up. And to further verify Ed's observations, a recent Canadian nurse whistleblower, 80% of all patients coming in the hospital double vaxxed. Another whistleblower in the United States, 90% of all patients in the hospital double vaxxed. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it all leads to the Build Back Better, which is three small B's, which is 666, which is this great reset, this new world order by these Satanists.
Well, yeah, the inventor of the
stand
mRNA
by, hold
technology.
hold that thought, Edward. We'll be right back after this break with Edward Hendry, guest extraordinaire.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers,
and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I think we're all ecstatic about having Edward Hendry as our featured guest on the event. He is truly an extraordinary man with breadth of intellect, depth of analysis. Edward, if you want to pick up where you left off, otherwise I'll ask Scorpio to enter the fray.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was just going to make the point that the inventor of the mRNA technology, Dr. Robert Malone, has said that mRNA vaccines are cytotoxic. That means that they are poisonous to cells. Now, this is the guy who knows what he's talking about, and he says these vaccines are dangerous. And this antibody-dependent enhancement is an aspect of that cytotoxic characteristic of the mRNA vaccines. And by the way, the reason that the young people are having such a hard time with the mRNA vaccine, particularly with regard to their heart, is because they have such a robust immune system. And so when you stick an mRNA code into your cells, the immune system will go into overdrive. And the result is an autoimmune response that attacks the body and its organs. See, and so that's why the young people are really getting hammered with the mRNA vaccines.
I'd like to quickly interject that not only is Dr. Robert Malone a hero in coming out publicly, but the whole basis for this scamdemic was the PCR test, which Dr. Carey Mullis, the Nobel Prize winning inventor, had publicly stated until his mysterious death in 2019 that this is not a diagnostic tool, this is a research tool. And yet it was used to gin up the so-called COVID numbers beyond belief, because if you look at 2019's, this is flipping annoying, this mouse, I thought I fixed it. Here we go. 2019, 38 million cases of the flu into 2020. Last year, 1,822, because it's all been rebranded. The typical pick season, pneumonia, influenza, common cold, is now called COVID. Ooh, the nanny boogeyman COVID. So I'll turn it over to you, Scorpio.
Yeah, what a good point. So, yeah, the in fact, I have a chart. If you go to my website, I have a chart on, and if you type in, let's see, type in influenza, it should come up. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. Type in influenza, go to the article that says proof that COVID-19 statistics are being padded with influenza cases, and go down to the chart that I have on there, and you'll see that it indicates, okay, here's 2000. If you go to the bottom of the chart, scroll down, see those are the influenza cases for 2019 to 2020. And if you go up, you'll see the influenza cases from 2020 to 2021, the fall and winter flu season. They disappeared. And all they did was they took the flu cases and they shifted them over and they became COVID cases.
Yep.
And the hospitals are being paid $13,000 for every COVID case. And so presto change-o, flu's gone, COVID's in, and these hospitals are making a lot of money. They got $39,000 if the person is put on a ventilator.
Yep.
So it's, and these ventilators, by the way, it takes special training to properly run a ventilator. And apparently the ventilators are not being properly run in the hospitals. And people, a lot of people are dying. Ventilation is an end of life medical procedure. So you're on your deathbed, and it's a last gasp before you die that they put you on a ventilator. That should not be a first treatment, but they were pushing these ventilators because they got $39,000 for every person they ventilated, and they caused all of this lung damage that they attributed to COVID-19. But it was a combination of remdesivir and these ventilators that caused that lung damage. So people are coming out injured. They come out dead, okay, from the treatment.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the other thing about ventilators is that, you know, they have to give the people a drug to stop them from breathing on their own. So it's not like you just take a completely conscious person and put them on a ventilator. It doesn't work like that. And like, as you pointed out, if it's not set exactly right, you actually overinflate the lungs and do tremendous, tremendous damage. So it's clear that the treatment is, you know, worse than the disease. That's been, you know, the point of just ginning up these death numbers and making it appear as bad as possible. And I want to just, you know, ask you to possibly speculate as to what you think is going to happen here. It seems to me like, you know, later this winter, or early into next year, they're going to have to make some major move on the COVID front in terms of a new variant or a new something really, you know, major to keep this narrative going. Because if they don't, if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, this thing's going to start to lose momentum. And as we've all seen, this thing has moved forward incredibly fast, faster than any of us thought possible. So perhaps you could speculate, what do you think the next move is going to be come this fall or winter or early into next year?
I have no idea. I do think, though, that when people get the flu shot, it will interact with those people who have already been vaccinated with COVID-19. I think that flu shot will cause an antibody-dependent enhancement response, a cytokine storm, if you will. And so this flu season could be pretty bad for those people who are vaccinated. And it's likely those people are vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine are those that would likely get the flu vaccine as well. And so I see that as a problem. Now, as far as what their plans are, they don't confer with me, so I don't know. I'm always surprised when I see what their next move is. And, but I can tell you right now, it's always two steps forward, one step back. Okay. So when this thing first started and people were talking about, okay, we're going to flatten the curve. We're going to go for a good 2 weeks or a month and we'll be good to go. Well, now we're 2 years in and they don't even talk about flattening the curve. All right. We are under tyranny where they're mandating vaccination. Okay. And they're talking about even airlines and other businesses requiring proof of vaccination before entering and before flying. In fact, I wrote about that early on. In fact, if you type in passport to my website, I think it'll come up. I have a number of articles about vaccine, or let's see, it would be COVID-19 passports at that time. So the vaccines, let's see what happens.
Yeah, the name.
Well, there's a number of articles. Yeah, I've got the one where they were developing a vaccine passport. Okay. Vaccine passports are on the way. Those were, let's see, those were later. Those were in July, March, February, March. Let's see. There's a number of articles I wrote about the plans and the companies that have already created software for COVID-19 passports, for track and tracing, for vaccine passports. I mean, this is what they're doing. In fact, in your phone, they pushed it to your phone, a piece of software, which you probably have not activated, because I think they made it so that you have to actually activate it, that allows for track and tracing. Unbelievable. Okay, there is a track and tracing app on everybody's either Android or Apple phone, pushed onto your phone. And by the way, on your phones also, there is, people don't know this, but there is a presidential notification app which cannot be turned off. The president of the United States, in an emergency, can contact and send a message to every phone in the United States.
Well, we have to be in constant contact with our glorious leader.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's necessary. And, you know, it's interesting you brought up the flu vaccines. I think the interaction between the two is going to be, you know, certainly a factor. It's going to be a synergy. And, you know, they're even saying you can get your COVID vaccine and your flu vaccine at the same time, man. It's no big deal. Just jab it in there and take it, baby.
Right.
And, you know, the other day I was at the grocery store and I was noticing that, of course, you know, everything in the grocery store has a price. You have to pay for it. What is the one thing you can get absolutely free at the grocery store? Your flu shot.
Yeah, yeah.
The mRNA experimental technology is in all flu shots this season as well.
What?
Yep.
No way.
Yep, absolutely.
See, that's news to me. I did not know that. So wait a minute. Rewind. You're saying that the mRNA technology is in the flu vaccines?
Yep, it is. It is. I had Dr. Judy Mikovits and several other intrepid, heroic investigators have said the same thing recently on my shows and on videos I've watched of other people's shows.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That is huge. It's disturbingly huge. Yep.
Well, you know what? That means they're going to start putting it in all of the other vaccines as well.
Yes, you should take no vaccine. I mean, Dr. Judy Mikovits on my show went last Friday, October 8th, deplored people, please do not deplored, begged people,
implored
people, don't take any jab. It's in all the jabs now. They control the FDA so hook, lock, stock, and bagel that it's in every injection. I mean, what they're doing to these children, these newborns and all that, it's just obscene. Yeah, I mean, this is the whole transhuman agenda, Edward, that they want to kill the natural humans and they want to mutate the ones that can take this bizarre technology and turn them into transhumans. It's just so sick.
Wow. You know, if you look at the history of vaccines and just trace it back to, well, actually, you can trace it back to the Hindus. It's actually a religious practice. It's not scientific at all.
Right.
But you can go to 1500 BC with it was a Hindu religious practice. But Edward Jenner, who was a quack.
Yep.
And he infected people with what is known as cowpox in order to immunize them against smallpox.
Yes.
Just because they say he's such a knucklehead because they both have the word pox in it. And he figures they're the same. Right.
Yep.
Well, that was the genesis of this whole idea of vaccine. And he was a liar. He killed a lot of people. And the results of his studies were fabricated.
Yep.
But based on that, we have this this mythology that putting a poison in someone's body will immunize them against another the same type of poison. When in fact, if you look at the history of vaccines, they're Johnny come latelys for epidemics and pandemics. So it's after the epidemic has played out that the vaccines come on the stage, and they don't do anything. Okay, in fact, they make things worse. There are literally, no exaggeration, 500,000 people and children in India who are suffering from polio from the polio vaccine. So these vaccines are dangerous. Vaccination as a medical practice is dangerous. And this is quackery.
Well,
like in the old days when they used to bleed people in order to cure them of illness. That's what vaccination is. The equivalent, anyway.
Well stated. In fact, were you aware that quack huckster Jenner continued to experiment on his son and stepson so virulently that he destroyed their immune function, and they both died, one at age 20, one at age 21, from tuberculosis because he had so ruined their immune function that they were no longer healthy and succumbed to tuberculosis. And everything that is done in the name of immunology, if ever there was an insane pseudo-scientific quackery, that's the biologics division of Big Pharma, which is the vaccine pseudo-religious quackery. It's unbelievable to me that the parents go along with this in any way. I mean, it breaks my heart and it makes my blood boil that these weak-minded individuals destroy their children willingly.
Well, yeah, I mean, aside from the vaccine, which is out of ignorance, I mean, I see, when I walk my dog in the morning and I'll talk to parents about their children wearing masks, and I'll explain to them, I'm changing the subject to masks,
right?
That, you know, wearing that mask causes hypoxia. And so that hypoxia, when you're wearing that mask for 7 hours a day in school, what it does is it causes your body to only engage in those necessary functions.
Right.
Well, one unnecessary function is creating new cells. And so what the hypoxia ends up doing is killing brain cells.
Yep.
And these children, their brain cells are growing. They need oxygen. And and by the way, you don't get those brain cells back. This is permanent brain damage they're suffering from. And just to let you know, ordinarily in the atmosphere, it's a little over 20% oxygen level, 20.9%, I think. If it drops below 19.5%, according to OSHA, it's life-threatening. Well, when you put a mask on a person, they're actually at about 17 to 18% oxygen level. And so they suffer from hypoxia. They're breathing their own, excretions back in, the bacteria and everything else. So it causes cavities, infection, okay? And it causes hypercapnia, which is an increase in carbon dioxide, okay, from the exhaled, by breathing in their exhaled carbon dioxide. So it's hypoxia, hypercapnia, and it's dangerous.
Yep.
It's bad not only for the brain, but for all the organs. You need oxygen, and it will make people ill. And one of the things you're going to start seeing in these kids with rotting teeth, because the bacteria is not being expelled. These kids are going to be sick. In the bacteria that forms on those masks, I've got another article on there that explains all of the bacteria that they've tested. It's disgusting. I mean, your breath goes through the mask, and you see people touching the mask. When they touch that mask,
okay? The it's like picking your nose, okay? The germs on the outside of that mask are disgusting. So you have people, wearing these masks, constantly touching them, and then they got the that schmutz on their fingers, okay, and then touching everything. It makes those masks make things worse. They spread disease. They don't prevent disease.
Well stated.
Yeah, in fact, if you click on that article, you'll see that there's a in that article, there is a I think I have a chart and graph there that shows some of the bacteria that they found, some of which is resistant to antibiotics.
Well, Fauci and his colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu and discovered that most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which, of course, are promoted by wearing masks. So this guy's going to go down as the greatest mass murderer in history, Edward. I mean, he's got no rivals, no one even close.
Yeah. Yeah. Fauci is a quack, and he's been given a lot of authority, unfortunately for us.
Scorpio.
Well, he's a lot worse than a quack. He really is a mass murderer. Look at what he did with the AIDS, the so-called AIDS epidemic, prescribing a deadly compound, that AZT, that had been taken off the market because it was so deadly. Yet he's the one that engineered literally millions of people across the world. And you know, it's interesting, too, that there's another correlation between so-called AIDS and COVID, which was that these phony AIDS tests gave many, many false positives. So you had asymptomatic people who really probably had nothing wrong with them. They get this test. Oh, you have AIDS. Oh, here, take this AZT. And then guess what? They started to die because this chemical from AZT was so toxic that it actually destroys the DNA in your cells, and your cells start to die. So, you know, this man is, like Jim said, probably one of the greatest mass murders in history. But as long as these people are writing the history, he will not go down as that. He will go down as a great hero. And it's amazing how I was listening to the so-called news, the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, saying that Dr. Fauci said it's safe for your child to go trick-or-treating this year. So we've devolved to a point where we have an unelected man who is clearly a psychotic and probably a member of numerous secret societies and clubs and engaged in nefarious activities, telling us whether or not our children are allowed to go outside and, you know, go trick-or-treating, which I'm not a big fan of. But just to have this man have the authority, the so-called authority, to tell us this, it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, another aspect of this new system is a technocracy. We have unelected scientists telling us how to live, when to live, what to consume and what not to consume, and how to consume. And I think that's another element of what they're trying to push us toward, which is this technocracy where every aspect of life is sort of regulated and, controlled by government entities. And of course, you know, it was Elon Musk's grandfather, his maternal grandfather, that was the progenitor of technocracy back in the 1930s. He was actually kicked out of Canada, and that's how the Musk ended up in South Africa.
Listen, as we come up to the break, let me announce we're going to open the lines for callers. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. But meanwhile, we'll keep the conversation going here with an invaluable resource. I think Edward Henry comes close to qualifying as a national treasure. Giuseppe, your thoughts before the break.
Well, I just started a petition to put Edward Henry's visage on Mount Rushmore as a fifth face.
I'm flattered.
You're much appreciated. You're much appreciated, Edward.
Well, thank you. And I'm not worthy. But anyway, You mentioned a really good point with regard to AZT. And here's an example of how dangerous AZT is. Just one example. Arthur Ashe, he ended up with, well, they alleged that he had AIDS, okay? And that, so they gave him AZT, and he died, okay? And the... what is it that they, it slipped my mind. What is it they say causes AIDS?
HIV.
HIV.
HIV. Okay. So he tested positive for HIV, and they gave him AZT. Now, Magic Johnson was also, he also tested positive for HIV, and they gave him AZT. He couldn't tolerate it, so he stopped taking it. He's alive today. So what, Dr. Peter Duesberg, who wrote a book called Inventing the AIDS Virus, he was the foremost expert in AIDS in the world. He was the man, all right? And what he discovered was that HIV does not cause AIDS. It does not comport with Koch's postulate. And he said that there's no causal link between HIV. He said, because there are people with HIV that do not have AIDS and do not ever develop AIDS, and there are people with AIDS that do not have HIV. He said, you can't have that if there's a causal link. And what he discovered was that it's not HIV that caused AIDS, but it was amyl and butyl nitrites that broke down the immune system. And that's why AIDS suddenly appeared in the homosexual community all at once, because the sodomites were using amyl and butyl nitrites as an aphrodisiac, which ended up after about 15 to 20 years destroying their immune system, causing full-blown AIDS. And so he said that HIV does not cause AIDS, but any research being done on ant theory other than HIV causing AIDS will not be funded. And so funding, all AIDS research funding was limited solely to looking into the causal link between HIV and AIDS.
What a great point.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Edward Henry after the break. We'll be in your...
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com. The People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. There available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the event, the Wisdom Circle joined with the Raw Deal. Here comes the good professor, our primary host. There he is.
And of course, Tony the Rat was acclaimed for his success in dealing with AIDS, where he appears again to have been a malevolent figure here, promoting medical quackery to the destruction and damage of the American people. We do have two callers standing by. The first is Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yes, hello, guys. You hear me okay?
Yep.
Sound good?
Great. Okay, yeah, I just want to do a sound check. You know, I can beat sometimes. You know, Southwest Airlines is pretty disappointing. It's pretty obvious to all of us that the CEO is lying. You know, first they said it was, because of weather and air traffic controllers having issues, you know, or not being on the job, which was total BS. The pilots weren't getting in the airplanes, and they just didn't want to admit it. And the union is on the side of the vax tards, you know. It's all money play, and yeah, I remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, Southwest was the friendliest airline. They had that going for them. They had the sexiest stewardesses. They looked like Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, you know, and the pilots were all,
right,
you know, like ex-military guys. Or it's just a cool, you know, a cool airline. That's the reputation they got. And now they're down with the global homo, you know, and the Zog. Yeah. And that's pretty pathetic, you know. And I can tell you what, you know, what in my mind was going on is the shareholders are afraid. You know, the CEO has to watch out for the shareholders' interests. And so the federal government can't, you know, the executive order cannot apply to private industry. But what the federal government can do is take the contract away from Southwest and give it to another airline like Delta or whoever, you know.
Bruce. I don't know if you're current, but the Southwest president's backed off. No one's going to get fired. I think what happened here was a passive result, revolt by the pilots and air traffic controllers that really brought the airline to its knees and may set a pattern, an example for the rest of the nation. So I appreciate the call. We have a 720 area code caller. Please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. 720.
Hey, it's Sal. I'm calling you from my burn number because every so often I call you from my regular number. No matter what I do, I can't get through. So that's why, listen to me, folks. Get yourself a free text now phone number for Apple or iPhone. They hit you up for money. But don't give it to them. But just make sure you turn it off in between. Anyway. Sorry about that. Ed Henry, oh my God, this has been one of the greatest shows ever. Jim, it's just, you know, you're right up there with who's the guy that does Agenda 21 Radio? Paul Preston. There with Paul Preston and James Tracy and all of the other great American next century truth finders. And I'm just so glad that you guys are all here. And I just wanted to say that, and I don't really have anything to ask or anything. I guess I do have one thing I got to ask. I keep hearing about them trying to give the vaccines, the so-called vaccines, as it were, to pets. Ed Henry, you know anything about that?
I'm not sure if I understand the question. Something about vaccines, giving it to whom?
I miss pets,
like dogs and cats, like domestic animals. They're already giving it to livestock.
He's saying the vaccinations are being given to livestock and even to pets like dogs. Have you heard anything like this?
Right.
Any of you? Because it's news to me, but it wouldn't surprise me.
No, I mean, if they're going to give it to humans, I mean, of course they would do it to animals. Yeah. I mean, that's a very good point, because many of these animals will end up eating. So how about
contaminating the food supply by eating
vaccinated animals?
Not dogs, unless we're in China, but that may make a difference there too.
Well, they vaccinate livestock.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to have the mRNA vaccines. If what Giuseppe has, I think it was Scorpio, made mention of, you know, if these other vaccines are going to be mRNA technology, I just see it coming with all of them.
Well, Edward, you know, they are working on developing plant life like lettuce that will contain mRNA vaccines. I mean, the situation is just obscene.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, with regard to the previous caller's mention of Southwest Airlines, you know, it's really interesting. I did a little back of the napkin calculation. I think there were almost 2,000 flights that were canceled yesterday. That's 40% of their flights, you know.
Right.
That crippled that airline. And I read the Wall Street Journal this morning. And you know what's fascinating? There was an article in there, and they made no mention of this being caused by the vaccine mandate. They had every other excuse for it, but no mention of the vaccine mandate. And my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the pilots just decided, hey, with that vaccine mandate, we're taking a day off.
That's exactly right.
Well, they were going to lose all their sick days if they got fired. So I think the key was take the sick days. They can't officially strike because they're in a transportation industry and there are federal laws against it. So it was, in fact, as it were, a spontaneous event that worked across the Southwest to bring them down. And the total number of flights has got to be around 3,000 by now that have been canceled.
Now, let me ask you this. Did somebody mention that the CEO has now backed off on the vaccine mandate? Is that true?
He blamed Biden in news articles yesterday and now this morning. He's blaming Biden for all the troubles. And Biden.
Oh, so there's no vaccine mandate for Southwest Airlines then?
Evidently.
It's interesting. And of course, it had nothing to do with it anyway, Edward.
You made that very clear. Now, this guy who's the CEO of Southwest is a member of the World Economic Forum, but he sees the writing on the wall, and he's now declared that no one will be fired if they refuse to take the vax.
Interesting. So he's saying just the opposite of what the American Airlines CEO is saying.
That may be, yeah.
Yeah, because the American Airlines CEO is saying that there is a federal mandate, which, of course, we know there's not.
Yeah, there is no mandate, 100%. Yeah. You were spot on about that, Edward, of course. I'm dealing with a company owner here locally, and we've been discussing it extensively, and I must have sent him 6 or 8 articles about the fraud, the magic, the bluff being perpetrated by the announcement of the mandate. You were very precise and comprehensive in debunking it. A marvelous job, Edward.
Yeah. It's government by bluff.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Scorpio.
Well, yes, absolutely. There is no mandate. This is all smoke and mirrors. And I think, yeah, government by bluff is a very good term. This is all smoke and mirrors. And, you know, what's interesting about the work stoppage at Southwest Airlines is that it really shows that, you know, we have a small club, a cabal, a criminal mafia that owns the entire system, but they do need boots on the ground to do the actual labor. Without that, the whole thing grinds to a halt. And, you know, one technique that's used in countries in South America, and I've experienced this personally, is a thing called a paro, which is just a nationwide strike, a work stoppage. And really, people are able to shut the entire country down through this. But this is part of the reason why they don't want any kind of unity amongst the people. They want to have a Tower of Babel, you know, where you just have people from all over the world that have nothing in common and don't really like each other. That's part of the reason why this rush to just flood the country with immigrants from all over the globe, because they don't want any kind of unity. They don't want a nation of people that can work together for a common cause. But this idea of simply refusing to work is very powerful. And you see what happens. These CEOs can't do a damn thing about it.
Edward.
Yeah, as far as economic shutdowns, well, I have news for you. They would love nothing more than an economic. I mean, that's what they're working for. That's what this whole COVID thing's about. In fact,
they want that to be permanent, to bring the system down, using it strategically to stop, temporarily to make a statement is a different matter, I believe. But, I don't think there's many options on the table to stop what's happening, simply refusing to submit to these so-called mandates. They're dictates from a tyrannical government. I don't think there's that many options on the table to stop this, because one thing that COVID has proven beyond a doubt is that the entire system is owned by a much smaller group of people than previously thought.
Well, you're absolutely right regarding strategical application of that. And Southwest Airlines is actually proof of the truth of what you just stated. I mean, it worked, didn't it?
We do have another caller from Washington, the state. Brian, if you're there, join the conversation. Brian from Washington.
Hello.
You must be trying to
track. He's there.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, let's use this analogy. It is a chess game. We're watching the videotape of the chess game. During the match, they pull off 9/11. Then they pull off 2008 and fleece $50 trillion. And now, for the final minutes of the game, yes, technocracy was part of that game 10 minutes ago. Elon Musk, Grandpa, yes, we've got all that information. But now it's down to, is the king and queen going to get taken? And we're still not talking about the currency of which we're discussing. So for your guest, Ed, carbon economy, they're meeting in Glasgow, Scotland at the end of this month to discuss it. They're meeting in the Vatican in the middle of this October.
You're talking about change, which is another giant fraud,
right?
No doubt about it.
Right.
Let me invite Edward to address it. Thanks for calling in, Brian. Edward.
Thank you.
Climate change is a way to bring out control globally over corporations. And it's interesting you mentioned Elon Musk. The idea of electrified cars, I think if you stop and think about it, what better way can the government control people but to have them driving electric cars? Electric car can be remotely disabled. You don't have that ability with a gasoline vehicle. You have independence with a gasoline vehicle. The fuel is on board. With the electric vehicle, in fact, there was one guy who was traveling across country, and they Tesla had a dispute with him over some sort of warranty, and they wanted to charge him for what was warranty service, and he's driving cross country, and they turned off his, I guess, fast charging. I guess there's a way you can fast charge. And so he's halfway across the country. They turned off his ability to fast charge his Tesla, which means he had to basically park. So rather than charging something in 40 minutes, it would take him 2 days every time he stopped. Okay. And so he had to park the vehicle, rent a vehicle, and continue his trip. And that's the kind of control that you have with an electric vehicle. You have to plug into the grid. So I see this electric vehicle as really a means by which there is more control over the masses when it becomes completely electric.
Yeah, and I agree completely. And let me just add something. You don't even need the shutoff capability, which, you know, I agree with what you're saying. You look at most of these electric vehicles, you have a range of around 300 miles, which is an overestimate because it doesn't take into effect, you know, hills and things like that. But so that means that you really only have 150 miles that you can travel before you have to, head home or charge. And the second thing is, there's no way that the power grid could possibly take the incredible amount of electricity production it would be required to power, these vehicles. This is a pipe dream. And what you're going to have is essentially a very small group of so-called elite who will have the ability to drive because, you know, GM is already pledging that by 2035, they're going to produce only electrical vehicles. Same with Ford. So this is already in process. And you're right. This represents a total control over the population's ability to travel. And of course, isn't it interesting that COVID, so-called COVID and climate change overlap in this respect, don't they?
Yeah, it's really brilliant what they're doing. And would you believe that despicable governor of California has just banned gasoline lawnmowers, leaf blowers, lawn equipment? I mean, it's just insane. Can you imagine mowing a large lawn with something that has to be plugged in on an enormous cord? I mean, the impracticalities here are simply overwhelming. It's clear this is one more despicable plot to undermine freedom and liberty. If you have no mobility, you're essentially chained to your home. It's outrageous.
Well, and Jim, you know, this whole green economy is a complete fraud. I drove out to Indio, California, just recently, and they have this giant wind farm there. And, you know, more than half of the windmills were not turning. And what I noticed is that I believe they're actually using electricity to spin some of them because I saw, you know, a row of them and like two of them would be turning and they're right next to each other. I'm pretty sure they were just running electricity through those to make them start turning. So the whole thing's a fraud. And Jim, they're setting it up to not have enough electricity to live life. That's what's coming.
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. So I'm glad the question was raised. We have a caller here, a call from Chicago, Brew. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, those three propeller windmills are inefficient. They don't whatever. They're bird killers. They put off a whizzing noise that affects the locals in the area, like any livestock and locals. If there's anybody in earshot, it puts out this humming noise that really drives these people up a wall. But they're totally inefficient. In fact, James McCanny created the wing generator, which is actually more set up like a turbine of a jetliner. the engine, jetliner engine, is set up in that fashion. That's more efficient than anything else. You know, even in China, as they went green and they put up these windmills and solar farms and whatever, they don't use it half the time. They have to go to coal. That's why China's shipping in so much coal. It's not like they didn't try to do solar and wind. It just doesn't work. They can't power anything. It's down more than it's up. So they're firing up coal plants. In any case, I wanted to jump to airlines. You know, it's no way in the God's green earth that the CEOs of these airlines or any of the top executives of boards don't realize that they just started this program where they're vaccinating their personnel, the flight crew, and so forth, and people are getting sick and dying, that they don't realize that they're going to lose personnel and it's going to put a crimp in their business. Well, that just says they don't care. They know it, and it is their mission to do that because this is what they're getting paid for. That's how they're putting dollars in their pockets and getting a seat at the high table. Now, I want to put two things in the process here. One, in this whole 2130 agenda, they want to make it to basically where people don't even have, the average person doesn't jump on a plane anymore and travel anywhere. You're basically going to be stuck, you know, like Hunger Games. You're stuck in your region. You're stuck in your little town. And if you do leave, it's maybe once a year if they allow you, or once in your lifetime if they allow you. So the whole airline industry is really going to go bye-bye like the dodo bird for the most part. It's going to be set for a very elite few, okay? And then second to that, if you guys recall, part of their whole Biden administration and whatever, since they came in, they started rolling out what they called equity. Remember when they wanted to say, oh, we want more minority pilots, more people of color. Even if they're inexperienced, we don't care. We want more of those butts in those seats, in those planes, even though they're nowhere near experienced as the personnel we have now. Well, they can't put that program forward if they still got all these educated, tens of thousands of hours, disciplined, and so on, pilots that they already got. They got contracts for who knows how long that they can't get rid of for any just willy-nilly reason. So they want to make this equity program, and they're putting people that have no idea what they're doing, affirmative action, basically, and they want to put those butts in the seats. And their excuse is, well, we got nobody else. There we go. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Brew. And I think Southwest has committed the economic business suicide by what they've done here. I don't see why anyone would have confidence in Southwest anymore, even though it's been like the most successful U.S. airline ever.
Yeah, up until now, their management has done a fine job, but they've gone woke and they will go broke.
Scorpio.
Well, yeah, and Jim, I think you brought up that the CEO of United Airlines is a member of the World Economic Forum. You know, pretty much every CEO, you know, almost every major corporation is a member of the World Economic Forum. So what they've really done is they've gotten all the major corporations under this one umbrella, and I guarantee you every one of these CEOs gets some kind of a sit down from people inside this organization that tell them either you play ball or you're organization is finished. That is how they've gotten such unity within all the corporations.
Brew, you want to add?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave with this one, that the airline industry is, the whole travel industry, and period, is down and out. People are broke. They don't want it. They're getting mad. You have to have a vaccine to fly with us. You have to have a vaccine to travel with us. You have a vaccine to go on a rush. People are going to not be traveling, okay, just because of, you have to have this to do this. Well, I guess I'm not going to do that then. So their whole business model is floundering until the other half of the population gives in and wants to go forth. So they're already in the weeds. So if they're killing personnel, they're making sure they don't pay pensions. They're making sure that they don't have anyone on the payroll and whatever. It's just, look, we already know these people are devious. Okay. We have literal nurses and doctors in hospitals making, you know, forcing all the stuff we've already talked about, ventilators, vaccines, this, that, and the other. And they know it, remdesivir, and they know this is not good. But we're told to do this, and this, we know the result, but we're doing it anyway. So there's no thinking here. It's only either greed or clear stupidity, or, you know, they want a seat at the high table. Go along to get along, and I'm going to survive. I'll be on top.
Edward.
Go ahead.
Well, after 9/11, the federal government took over airports. So that was all well planned. So airports used to be, the security used to be run by the local sheriff. And after 9/11, TSA took over all security for airports. And so that's why the edicts from Biden regarding masks and so forth at the airports can be enforced, because he controls them all. So that was a power grab. This has been long planned. They've laid the groundwork for this long ago. Some of these states where they've given governors emergency powers, okay, and then they can, by with a stroke of the pen, create these edicts, okay, as we have here in Virginia and other governors in other states, that through executive order, without any conference with the legislature, make law with the stroke of a pen. Unbelievable. Locking down businesses, mandating masks, curfews, all the rest of this, because they can declare an emergency. Well, by the way, just to let people know, there are no emergency exceptions to the Constitution, either state or federal. All right. Our Constitution was framed under an emergency. Our Constitution was designed to exist under emergencies. And so this concept of, oh, there's an emergency, so you have to give up your constitutional rights. No, those are God-given rights, and there are no emergency exceptions to the Constitution.
Edward, we're already planning to have you back. Special thanks to Bruce from Texas, Saul from Colorado, Chicago Brew for calling in. But Edward, you were spectacular. I know Giuseppe and Scorpio joined me in thanking you for a splendid performance here on the event with us today.
Well, thank you. It was good to be here.
Yes, look forward to having you back soon, Edward. Really, you're a brilliant guy, and you're a freedom fighter and a hero. So have a good week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.